As we consider the virtues that keep us stable, certainly kindness is one of the more important. As you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 29th verse. Ephesians 4:29, where Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, offers us this teaching: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But get rid of all bitterness, rage, and slander, anger, brawling, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Leo DeRocher is a name that will live forever in baseball lore. Nickname Leo the Lip. Reporters loved DeRocher because he was always good for some zany, offbeat quote that they could put into their columns for their readers to enjoy. DeRocher was, of course, inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1994 because of his accomplishments on the diamond, both as a player and as a manager, but we will remember him the most for so many of his quips, some of which were quasi-theological, as in, God watches over drunks and third basemen. If you've ever played third base as I did, you understand the significance of the quote. They don't call it the hot corner for nothing. Some of them were anti-authoritarian, as in, I've never questioned the integrity of an umpire. His eyesight, yes. His integrity, no. And some of them were, quite frankly, cutting edge. He was the manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. It was a very controversial time. A reporter asked DeRocher what he planned to do with Jackie Robinson. Would he actually play him, the first black man in the major leagues? DeRocher said, I don't care if he's yellow, or if he's black, or if he has stripes like a zebra. I'm the manager of this team, and I say he's playing. But of all the quotes that DeRocher is famous for, the one that no doubt, even if you're not a baseball fan, you have heard before, is his quote, nice guys finish last. Nice guys finish last. When I was a boy growing up, first time I heard that quote, I thought, I hope that's not true. I hope that's not true, because I want to be nice, but I don't want to finish last. And as I have grown older, even in this season of life, I believe that to be something even more important for nice guys and nice girls, not to be consigned to the cellar. More than ever, we need some nice people, men and women, boys and girls, now now more than ever, we need some nice people to emerge in our day and to make their influence known on the larger culture. Because, I think you would agree, there is so much meanness, just rank meanness, that abounds. Where did all this meanness come from? Well, when you look at the Bible, it's pretty clear that all of the meanness that we see around us and see within us is because of sin, because of the tendency that each of us human beings has to think first and foremost about ourselves, to be committed to what we want, focused on our agendas, which, when we become fixated on what we think we need out of life, will often cause us to see others around us as threats and as competitors, which is why this meanness is so prevalent today and has permeated so many aspects of our life together. Everyone is in it for himself or herself. So how do we move past this? How do we see some kindness injected into our culture? This is a time, this is a place where people of faith in Jesus Christ need to step forward and let our witness be seen. Now, that was the message of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, a very cosmopolitan city made up of people who had come to Ephesus from all over the known world. The church in Ephesus, because of the makeup of the city, was a very diverse community of faith. It was multicultural and multi-ethnic. There were people who had come to faith in Christ from Jewish backgrounds. There were people who had come to faith in Jesus Christ from all kinds of Gentile backgrounds. And Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians to encourage them to form a sense of community that expressed what Paul was inspired to call the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And Paul knew that the tendency that becomes all too evident when you bring together such a diverse group is for everyone to get into his or her little corner where everyone thinks like I do and looks like I do and believes like I do. And Paul says the only way that we can overcome that tendency to fragment, to fray, to separate, is to remember the one thing that we have in common and to embrace it and to allow it to continue to form in us this desire to be together in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that is God's grace in Jesus Christ that took us as we were, a hopeless and hapless people, and have transformed us into a people who are so thankful for the difference that God's grace in Jesus Christ makes, that We begin to relate to one another in ways that allow us together to extend a ministry to a world that is productive and effective and functional. And so in this passage that is before us this morning from the fourth chapter, Paul goes into great detail about what that kind of practical, functional, effective witness looks like. He tells the church that you need to get rid of all the unwholesome talk, which tells us that there must have been unwholesome talk taking place among the congregations in Ephesus. Get rid of all of that. All the bitterness and all the rage and all the slander and all the malice. Every form of it. And instead, Paul says, be kind and compassionate. I like the King James Version translation. Be kind and tenderhearted. And forgive one another as, in the same way, that God in Christ has forgiven you. The word that Paul uses for kindness is an interesting word. You hear the word kind, and automatically we think nice, that a kind person is a nice person to other people. And that is not untrue. Certainly that is an aspect of kindness, is for us to treat one another nicely, but the word that Paul uses goes beyond merely being nice to others. It's a word that connotes usefulness, the ability to add something of significance into relationships. It means to be functional as opposed to being dysfunctional. A mean person is a dysfunctional person because a mean person has nothing to contribute to others. Not really, he's only concerned about himself. But when Paul talks about being kind, it's serving a greater purpose, not just our purpose. It's serving the purpose of God and how God's redemptive purposes might come to hold value, not just for ourselves, but for those around us, which, as Paul reminds us here, must always be a work in progress. I memorized this passage of Scripture as a child in the King James translation. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. But the verse really suggests more of a process of conversion that takes place within us. It actually should be translated become. Become kind and compassionate toward one another. In other words, there's never a point in our life, in our faith journey, where we don't have some room to develop more kindness toward one another, because the forces in our culture are always working against our being together. They are always working instead to tear us apart. Never before have we seen such pressure exerted on our society than we see today. But instead of simply ruining the place where our culture is, Paul's teaching invites us to see the opportunities that exist for those of us who call ourselves Christian to do something to make a little kindness more the norm in our relationships with one another, so that together we begin moving in a direction that is far more useful and far more productive and far more purposeful. Something that I firmly believe people will gravitate toward. Do you know of anyone who actually is put off by kindness? By someone who is willing to do something to meet a need in another person's life? I don't think so. And occasionally in our world, we get glimpses of the difference and the possibilities that just a dash of kindness can make. Most of us here this morning will remember when Southwest Airlines emerged on the scene as a player in the airline industry. And when Southwest first came on the scene, they just did things a little bit different. And their competitors viewed them, quite frankly, as being a little quirky. And engaging in practices that could not be sustained over the long haul because all of the other airlines were just business as usual, driven by the bottom line. And Southwest emerged as a company, obviously, that wanted to make a profit, but felt like they could pursue their mission and in the process, treat people as people, not just as profit. And so they went out of their way to do things that made people feel important. And they gave their attendants and their employees permission to do what they thought might be of benefit to airline passengers who chose to fly that airline. The story is told of Darlene and Kristen Thomas, who were traveling back to their home in Colorado from California after having adopted their first child, a little girl. She was 8 days old. And so they were flying Southwest from California to Colorado. And mid-flight, these are new parents, the little girl needed to be changed. So the dad hit the call button. The attendant came back. And, you know, our daughter needs to be changed. Can you help me find a place where we can change her? Sure, sure, the attendant said, please, please come with me. And of course, you would expect that on any airline. Nothing unique there. And as the attendant was there helping out this new dad, who had never changed a diaper in his life, you know, they began to talk. She wanted to hear the story. Not many 8-day-old children fly on airplanes. Well, the dad explained, we're bringing our daughter back home. And he began to spill his heart. It's been a long journey, fertility treatments, miscarriages, headaches, and heartaches. But here she is. And when the attendant had helped dad change the diaper and dad and daughter went back to their seat, in a little bit, the attendant came on the intercom and she said, we have a special guest on our flight today. Little 8-day-old girl is flying home with her parents who just adopted her. And in a moment, we're going to pass out some napkins and pens. And we'd invite you to write a note to this new family if it pleases you to do so. You don't see that happening very much. And so the attendants passed out the napkins and the pens, and people began writing notes. Notes that would bring tears to your eyes. I was adopted 64 years ago. Thank you for giving this young girl a loving family. More and more and more notes just like that. And the parents kept those notes, and the grandmother of the little girl compiled them in a book, and I guarantee you to this day they're still looking at those notes and they're finding great encouragement over the kindness that strangers added to their family's life. Is there any little wonder that even today Southwest Airlines is one of the most profitable airlines in the United States because of the commitment that they made from the very beginning to engage in acts of kindness like that? Kind of reminds me of something that Gary Shandling, the comedian, once said. Nice guys finish first, Shandling said. And if you don't know that, then you don't know where the finish line is. As people of faith, we know where the finish line is. And where such acts of kindness may not ever land us into the Baseball Hall of Fame, those kinds of acts, as we continue to be converted by our expressing them, will one day land us in the Hall of Fame of Faith. For as any baseball fan will tell you, the object of the game is really to get not just the batter in the box around the bases and back home. The object of the game is to get as many players on the team around the bases and back home as they can. And the goal for us in our faith journey is essentially the same. How many of us can we get around the bases of life and back home? Kindness is the key. Be kind and compassionate and forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. And if enough of us do that, we will get home. And at the end of the day, by God's grace in Christ, we will win. We will win. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercy toward us in Jesus Christ. We have not deserved your kindness, and yet, because of who you are, you expressed it to us by sending your Son to be the means to our salvation. We thank you for the difference that Jesus continues to make in us as day by day we are being formed into his image. We praise you that you have not called us to this way by ourselves, but there are others around us who go with us in this way. We support one another. We encourage one another. Though different in so many respects, what we hold in common is the grace of Jesus. And we are held in common by the grace of Jesus. So continue to do that work in us that only you can do. that we may experience the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and extend it to this entire world through Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for being here and being a part of this service. Hope you've had a wonderful 4th of July weekend, and I know we have a number of people who are watching from wherever your holiday weekend has taken you. We trust that you'll have a safe return as you journey back to Birmingham. A lot of good things happening in the coming weeks. Next Sunday, we will attempt to resume the next phase of our gathering, which involves small group Bible study. And as you heard Wayne say, please refer to the website so that you can know what our plans are for this first Sunday back together in Bible study. And then tonight, of course, be thinking about us as we begin our vacation Bible school effort. Be in prayer for us. As you prepare to leave, remember the ushers will be coming down and will be escorting you out row by row. As you go, may you remember to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven you, so that you may go from this place in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.